You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Ben Bornstein, the CEO and Executive Director of Immerman Angels, an organization that provides personalized connections to enable one-on-one support among cancer fighters, survivors, and caregivers. Mr. Bornstein, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Great to be with you, Eric. Thanks for having us.
And you're most welcome. So for starters, tell us, what is Immerman Angels and how did it come about?
Sure. So Immerman Angels was founded by Johnny Immerman 11 years ago, and he's a two-time cancer survivor. And his observation was, as he went through his cancer experience in his 20s, was that while he had great family and friends support, wonderful medical care, what he didn't have was this missing link of the triangle of someone just like himself who had the same diagnosis at the same age and the same part of life and could answer all those questions that don't come up through your medical provider and really couldn't come up from anybody other than somebody who's been through it before. So he started Immerman Angels 11 years ago to be the world's largest one-on-one free support network for cancer fighters, survivors, and caregivers. And the idea was to not only provide this service for cancer fighters, but also for the caregivers. So if somebody's child, parent, spouse, sibling is going through a cancer experience, we can provide the matchup to somebody just like them that's been through the exact same thing as a caregiver to a loved one going through cancer and has come through the other side successfully. And that's now grown through the grassroots efforts initially in Chicago to be a 50-state, 91-country service provided for free in all those jurisdictions and in three different languages, English, Spanish, and most recently Mandarin.
And that is impressive. So how does the company's matching program work? Get into some of those details, if you would.
For sure. So the way it works is this. We, at some level, are a database company. We have everything in Salesforce on the back end in data fields. So we have everything from the obvious name and demographics to get a little deeper since we're outside the scope of HIPAA and providing medical care. We can even include things like religion, race, sexual orientation, any factor that somebody wants to disclose so we can get an exact match, what we often refer to here as a connection perfection match. And so the way it works is the fighters come in as support seekers through either the phone or our website, ImmermanAngels.org, fill out what type of cancer they're facing, what stage, their treatment protocol, and so forth. That comes into our cancer support specialists who then review it and reach out to fill out any missing holes in the application, so to speak. And then that dictates almost immediately, statistically, a best match. And then our cancer support specialists spend time with the fighter or the caregiver to assess what they feel the most important variables for them in their own fight are. Because we all know, Eric, people are different and have different values in which things are bothering them the most about a situation like cancer that's turned their world upside down. So we have this concept that we call high-tech, high-touch, which is a little counterintuitive at first, but we're basically using the technology to scale the effort to be able to offer this as widely as possible and continue to make it free. But then we have the high-touch component that allows us to customize the match for the particular needs of that cancer fighter or caregiver. So it's a mission-first-driven charity that looks towards how do we accommodate the particulars of the individual but still allow us to reach the most number of people. So that's how the fighter side works. On the mentor side, so those are the folks that are getting matched up, they go through a similar process, but since they're not fighting, instead of getting assessed for what treatment protocols and staging they're in, we talk to them about what cancer they had and successfully beat. And then we go through an extensive training process with them that has both written and electronic testing components to it. So you literally have to pass some quizzes and assessments before you can be a mentor angel. And then you're in the database as a prospective mentor. At that point, you get matched up when your name comes up as the statistical and emotional best match for a cancer fighter. And even at that point, Eric, we do reach back out to the mentor angel to make sure there hasn't been a life circumstance change for, gosh forbid, a cancer recurrence, but also life changes. You lost your job, maybe you're going through a divorce, or other things that might make it difficult for you to be a perfect mentor for that cancer fighter. Assuming the mentor says that they're good to go and they still feel that they're in position to successfully mentor this cancer fighter or caregiver, we create the match. And we do all of this. It takes a little while to explain how it works, but it all happens within 1 to 3 business days. So part of the key to this is a newly diagnosed cancer patient's had their world turned upside down. We need to have the speed and the accuracy to make this match, or the whole service may not be useful. So we've gotten very good over the 11 years we've been running to providing that that speed of match. And then in terms of quality, the proof's in the pudding. We have only about 3 out of 1,000, so 99.7% success rate on the quality of the matches. And I think it's more just human nature that occasionally there's not a personality fit, or the response time between mentor and mentee isn't what one side desired or the other. And so they ask for a rematch, and we're often able to successfully provide that rematch as well.
Now, as the CEO and executive director of Emmerman Angels and a cancer survivor yourself, what are you most proud of since taking this position?
That's an excellent question, Eric. So for me, single-handedly, the thing I'm most proud of is the number of cancer patients we're impacting on a global basis. As I mentioned earlier, we entered our 91st country earlier this year. We're in all 50 U.S. states. We're getting referrals in the door from MD Anderson and Mayo Clinic and Dana-Farber and Sloan Kettering and all the top cancer centers around the country, including our hometown Chicago cancer centers and University of Chicago and Northwestern University. So for me, it's that impact. I'm a 3-time cancer survivor myself. I had cancer as a 14-year-old growing up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then I had cancer again as a young adult at age 28. The first one was a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 85. The second one was a squamous cell carcinoma of the tongue cancer in 99. And then I had skin cancer a few years ago. So I've really lived this mission of going through cancer experiences with great family and friend support and wonderful medical care, but not having that match-up service for my first two cancers that we provide here at Emmerman Angels. So I think it's the singular thing to say to your question of impact is just the impact we're having on cancer fighters. And fortunately, more and more people are surviving this terrible disease. I really say disease is, because we match up 137 different cancer types here at Emmerman Angels. And so we've gotten very broad in the number of cancers we can help, not only the prevalent ones such as breast cancer and prostate and colon cancer, as terrible as they are, but also the more rare ones such as stomach cancer and pancreatic cancer and cancers that have a tougher success rate. So that's really been the big one. And, you know, I came out of the world of Wall Street. So my background is business and law, JD MBA background. And I was working in the hedge fund industry for years and being on the board of Emmerman Angels and other cancer charities doing good in the world, but not really living and breathing it every day. And so for me, being able to, come in full time to really use my business skills to help us impact more people has been the thing I'm most proud of since I took the position.
And a whole lot to be proud of, and you've certainly gone through it yourself. Today we are joined by Mr. Ben Bornstein, the CEO and Executive Director of Emmerman Angels, an organization that provides personalized connections to enable one-on-one support among cancer fighters, survivors, and caregivers here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, given your extensive resume and experience in all sorts of leadership roles over the years, what's a new aspect of starting and upkeeping a business that is so important now than wasn't, say, 10 years ago?
Yeah, excellent question, Eric. You got all the good questions over on your end. Here's what I'd say to that. I think technology is what you'd have to say to this question, and there's many aspects of how tech and IT and databases affect your business today. So for us in the world of matching up cancer fighters, I mean, in a sense, if you think about it, Emmerman Angels is the cancer fighting equivalent of what Uber and Airbnb do. I mean, we're matching somebody who needs a service with somebody who has the service. We're just applying it to people's lives on the line through terrible diseases like cancer. So for us, the challenges today versus what I'd say 10 years ago are making sure we have integrity of our database, making sure our sales force is up to speed so we can do accurate matches and speedy matches. So that's one whole aspect of what we do. Now, on the other side, in terms of sourcing, you know, the sense of in the for-profit world, sourcing customers, for us, how do we find cancer fighters? How do we find the mentors? It's all about digital marketing now, social media, how you keep your reputation stellar online. As we all know, it only takes one or two bad reviews of your service or your business to really put a challenging mark against it online. And so for us, I'd say it's the combination of database integrity and management on the core of our matching service, and then digital marketing and social media as far as finding new customers. And, you know, we keep this service free, so there is a whole half of our business, which is raising the money to be able to offer it for free. And even that side of things is very dependent on how you use technology to reach prospective donors. We have, for example, text for awareness programs, text to give programs. So all those products that really in the last 7 to 10 years have become so prevalent, you have to use and you have to really invest in or you won't be able to succeed. And a new thing that we're doing, and maybe we're a little late to the game, though, in the cancer charity space, not that late to the game, is to have an app version of what we do. And so we are in the process of working with a very large cancer app that exists out there versus building our own. And we're leaning towards being the community aspect of this existing app, so we'd have the distribution that they already have to cancer fighters. So That's really what I'd say about the last 10 years or so. And then the other innovation for us that's specific to what we do is cancer survival and detection have both become have really increased in the last several years. And so we're in essentially a growing market of survivors that will outlive their disease, and it'll be more, if you will, a chronic condition or a one-off component of their lives rather than something that that they don't make it through. And so for us, the realization was that we don't just have to go to hospitals and healthcare facilities and cancer centers to find cancer fighters. All we have to do is get in front of large populations of people. And we know, Eric, as a fact, there will be cancer stories there. So there will be times during those discussions where an uncle or an aunt or a friend or a coworker is going to have a cancer experience, and we're in a position to help those folks now. So we've started doing a lot more corporate outreach, a lot more talks to conferences, where we're just there to say, look, this is what we do. It's a free resource. Make sure you as a company, you as a conference, you as a group of college students, you as a school, utilize us when the need arises. And so that sort of innovation of how we market our services, it's something that's more true today than it would be 10 years ago.
And I certainly would agree with you there. Good stuff shared. Thanks so much. Now, I also hear that you won a WeWork Creator Award. Congratulations on that accomplishment. Tell us about that experience and how has competing in that competition and winning that financial award expanded your business?
Yeah, for sure. So the partnership with WeWork has been nothing short of amazing. We knew a little bit about them earlier this year because they'd had some great success, although I would say their trajectory has only increased since we've known WeWork earlier this year. We got involved with the Regional Creator Awards in the Midwest. We were us coming out of Chicago. They were hosting it in Detroit. We applied. I believe there were 600 or more companies. It was a very popular contest, and we were fortunate that we were one of the three regional winners out of the Midwest, now competing in the finals in New York next January. And you know, for us as a very scalable, efficient machine, but still needing some funding, we run this whole 91-country, 50-state operation on a 9-person team with only $1.5 million in budget. So winning the Creator Award and the generous financial support that came with it has enabled us to market and do the digital marketing I shared with you earlier. It's allowed us to help more cancer fighters. It's allowed us to get more brochures out there. It's allowed us to travel to more conferences and present our story. It's allowed us to present to more companies out there. So just the financial side of it has been nothing short of amazing. Then you get into the relationship with WeWork itself, which is filled, as I'm sure you know, with lots of young, innovative, smart people. And when you're around a lot of young, innovative, smart people, only good things happen when you start putting your heads together. So we've been thinking about all kinds of collaborations with WeWork that include presenting our services as a free resource to their entire community of 100,000 plus WeWork community members, presenting our services to the WeWork employment team, the folks that work at WeWork. And I've been to their headquarters now a few different times in New York to talk about that possibility. And once the contest is over, in particular, we envision formalizing our relationship with WeWork much more significantly. And then the third aspect of WeWork Creator Awards to share with you today is you're also around all your other co-contestants who have amazing, innovative companies. I don't think any of which were also in the cancer space, but are all over the map in for-profit, not-for-profit. We're in the scale division as a little bit bigger entity. There's also the launch division, which is really just coming out of the gates, and so many interesting entrepreneurs and smart young people to associate with that that process of the contest. And then we've had subsequent boot camps where we've gotten together in different cities to get to know each other better, and as we trade business ideas, also collaborate on the improv stage and other things that WeWork designed for us, is really something that you can't replicate elsewhere. The next thing I'm most excited about with the WeWork guys, I've talked with them about their summer camp experience, and couldn't be more excited about the possibility of joining them for their next summer camp business seminar. So those are a few things that the WeWork's done for us this year, and it's been an invaluable partnership. We honestly couldn't have had the year we've had this year, which is a record year, without their support.
Lastly, Mr. Bornstein, what's your biggest piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs or someone with a business idea who doesn't know what to do next?
Yeah, I would say the following to that question. That comes up all the time, even in my old world of hedge funds, you know, when to leave a fund and start your own, when to do something entrepreneurial. The answer, I think, depends a little bit where you are on the spectrum of life, right? So you have to – the younger you are and the less obligations you have outside of yourself, the more risk you can afford to take on. And if you're going to do it, you might as well do it early. So my advice for folks in the 20 to 25 camp is, hey, you come up with a good idea, check it, back check it, make sure you've really thought through your thesis, but then go after it. There's very little downside. You're not giving up much. As you get into a little bit older in life, maybe starting a family, maybe leaving a job that pays you more, and maybe having some school loans and things like that that you have to think about, then my advice is, if you can't afford to do it, and it's always best to be transparent with your employer. Some people can do this, some people can't, is to talk to your folks you're working with that, look, you got this great idea and you're going to be spending, no daytime during it, doing it, but evenings, weekends, you're going to be thinking about XYZ business. And I think that always works best. And you'd kind of be surprised how many people are interested and sort of secretly wanted to get into entrepreneurship or happy to mentor you as you think about that. So I think that's a good way to go. If you're not able to do that, then you got to really make the call of whether you saved up enough. I think you always need at least a year of runway before you can assume any new venture is going to be generating any kind of cash for you, and think that way. And then I would also be a student, pick up books like The Founder's Dilemma. Howard Tolman's written a great blog series out of 1871 in Chicago, in Inc. magazines, which one can find online about all the things to think about as a startup. Talk to other people that have started companies. What have been their biggest wins and their biggest highs, but also their biggest lows? I mean, we all know, most startups don't work. So when you're thinking about starting something new, be aware that this may be a learning experience and nothing more. And if you're fortunate and you've thought through it, it may turn into something great. But I do feel, as a guy who's been quite entrepreneurial throughout my career, that if you have the bug and you're just too scared to do it, or you never do it, you're really selling yourself short. It's the highest highs and the lowest lows compared to folks that are in a W-2 regular job that they collect a paycheck and that's it. So that'd be some of my advice for the young entrepreneurs out there.
Some solid and fantastic advice, and we can't thank you enough for sharing that and for taking a moment to be with us here. It certainly has been our honor. Where can listeners get all the details on Imerman Angels, and how could one be in touch as needed?
Yeah, so from all of us at Imerman Angels, the best thing to do, go to ImmermanAngels.org, our website, or call us at 866-IMMERMAN. Those are the best ways to reach us. And, the main thing we do every day, Eric, is help cancer fighters and caregivers. So, I mean, for us, that's the bread and butter. If you have a need, you're going through a cancer experience, a loved one is, a coworker is, 866-IMMERMANS, 463-7626 is the way to go. We're now the biggest database in the world at matching up cancer fighters with survivors, what we call mentor angels. And we've done it now from ages 4, if you can believe it, all the way up to age 96. And we've done it 37,000 times since our inception. So we're well-versed in helping. We're here to help. And for folks listening out there, don't be a stranger. Don't be afraid to reach out for help. Keep up the good fight, and you will beat this cancer.
I got to tell you, you're an inspiration. Mr. Bornstein, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you continued success and all the best.
Thank you so much, Jack. Have a great day, and thanks for giving us the opportunity to share a little bit about Immerman Angels with the world.
And it's more than our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Ben Bornstein, the CEO and Executive Director of Immerman Angels, an organization that provides personalized connections to enable one-on-one support among cancer fighters, survivors, and caregivers. And for all the details, visit ImmermanAngels.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our new live location as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.